My guest today is Doris Chen. Doris, how are you?
I'm good.
What do you do?
I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft.
Me too.
Yes, I know.
We're on the same
But
team.
We're based in different geo.
In different
I'm in West Coast. I'm in Bay Area, Silicon Valley.
I'm in the upper Midwest myself.
Cool.
Which is where we are right now. We're in Wisconsin, Dells, Wisconsin.
Yes, it's more close to you.
And you do a lot of JavaScript work, is that correct?
Yes, JavaScript and HTML5.
Excellent. In fact, we were talking earlier about that you have this passion for performance tuning JavaScript.
Yes, yes.
Which is something that I am woefully ignorant about.
Sure, yeah.
Educate me.
I'm actually always passionate about performance tuning, even when I started as a Java developer. My first project is actually Java performance tuning.
Okay, so not JavaScript, but Java.
Right. So I started as an engineer for Java performance.
Okay.
And then, so I have been with Microsoft for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. So when I start to switch the gear a little bit to HTML5, JavaScript, and I look into, you know, all the best practice, all the performance issues with just JavaScript itself. And I do feel, you know, a lot of front-end engineers, when they do a lot of JavaScript development, obviously you have to make sure code is working, that's the first mm-hmm. thing. But there is a big difference between a good developer versus a bad developer, meaning they really have to think about the scalability, the reliability, and all those kind of issues, and the okay. performance especially, right?
Okay.
In order for you to advance into a more mature or better developer.
Absolutely.
So, a lot of people overlook JavaScript because they think it's such a simple language in a way. And
it is a simple language.
Yeah,
it's kind of surprising that it becomes like ubiquitous as it has.
Yeah, because it seems like a high school student could write some JavaScript, right? So, but there's a lot of JavaScript performance issue involved in the website. You could see that. For example, you click a button, mm-hmm. you click on a link,
right.
and I don't know what's your tolerance level. Like, how long are you willing to wait until you see some response?
Oh, I got stuff to do. I want something on the screen almost immediately.
Right. So 5 years ago, the
second or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe tops.
You're good. National average is about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But now we talk about a modern web app.
Yeah.
We talk about real-time performance compared to native app. So it's basically within 1 second.
Right.
We talk about milliseconds. So performance is so important, right? So I look into the whole performance. A lot of people just say, Doris, that's easy. You just tell me, say, 10 top tips, and my performance, my app performance would be much better.
Oh.
And
is that
I
what
wish,
you do? You
I
have
wish,
top 10?
No, I oh, wish no. it could be. This would be something easy, right?
Oh.
Unfortunately, performance tuning is a science. It's a very engineering project. It's not just simple, tell you XYZ, your performance will be much better. So you have to follow what I call, or most people call, performance optimization process. Meaning you have to do a lot of tests.
Okay.
You have to not just test in an ideal environment. For example, you have very fast machine.
Right.
And you test just one person interact with the app. That's not
the
case.
Of course it's going to be performant there.
So you probably should use your customer's environment. Test with the old OS,
mm-hmm.
test with maybe a slow browser,
mm-hmm.
and then try to see if you could pass your performance test. So
yeah.
you set up some performance test. Say, I need 10 people access the website simultaneously, and the response time should be within, say, 800 milliseconds, for example,
okay.
right? But if you pass the test, everything's fine. Don't worry about that. Don't over-optimize it. But if you fail the test, that's the time you should look into.
Let's stop there. When you talk about tests, Is there tooling
yes.
available to help
so
you with things like that?
The good thing is there's a lot of tools, performance tools. For example, if you use IE or Microsoft Edge,
mm-hmm.
there's F12 tool
okay.
you could use to look into the detail, for example, the DOM level, the JavaScript level.
What about for performance and scalability? Does F12 tools help you
there,
with that?
There are some tools will actually tell you when you have multiple people access the same app,
okay.
what is the network latency, for example,
okay.
or what is exactly the most expensive library or most expensive methods
you'll
be
using.
Expensive
in terms of the amount of time it takes to download those things.
Exactly. And also in the F12 tool, there's a new feature called VI responsiveness, meaning if it's supposed to be, okay, human eyes could only catch 60 frames per second,
okay.
right? But with this kind of tool, if it's everything 60 frames per second, that's the farthest you could get. So you get
okay.
a flat kind of line.
Hmm.
But usually, because of garbage collection, because of all the bottlenecks in your app, you will see a big dip. right? Those are the area you could actually zoom into that with a tool and look into the memory consumption, the CPU utilization.
Okay.
Basically, these are the things that kind of relate to the Java performance tuning.
JavaScript
performance tuning. So in that sense, after you use a tool to measure a final bottleneck, then it's true. You look into all the best practice for the JavaScript. For example, where you should lay out your CSS file. Should you put extensive JavaScript at the beginning of a page, or should you leave it to the end?
Is there an answer for that, or does it depend?
Yes, definitely. For example, CSS, you should leave it at the beginning, right?
Why
so
is that?
Because CSS basically tells the web page how to render.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what to look like. Like if I have some background color, if I have some static image to show up. And JavaScript should leave towards the very end, because the JavaScript engine will basically processing that. It takes a lot of time to process. So if you leave at the beginning, you will see a blank page.
Okay.
People basically say, it's not responsive. I don't see anything, right? So you leave it towards the very end. So markup language, there's a lot of performance tuning around that. And also there's certain things with the JavaScript library itself. Some methods are faster than the other. Right. So these are the things, you know, you probably need to look into, you know, and then the one thing, you know, I think a lot of people is kind of make mistake is they overtrust a lot of hard numbers.
Overtrust.
Like I give a talk, I give some hard numbers, I get some performance tips, I provide some performance gain, for example, and they went to other literature or some other content. But the thing is, your mileage will be different than mine. You always have to test.
Testing.
All the
I keep
tips in
this
the
is like the 20th time you've said test just
test.
In the last 10
yes.
minutes. So
yes.
test. I'm going to use testing is really important.
It is because see my I could say I get a 20% gain in my environment in my project, but when you test it, maybe you get more or maybe you get less. So it's only your production environment is important, right? So do not overtrust all the harder number we do. But then it is important if you want to be a better front end or JavaScript developer, watch out all the performance optimization tips, watch out all the architecture design. Sometimes it could be your architecture. It could be because you're designing in such a way that, say, your RESTful call, you're making a very expensive RESTful call. Or sometimes it could be getting to the network latency. For example, you try to getting a huge image at the very beginning, which you shouldn't, because you don't need it right away.
Oh,
right?
I see.
So lazy initialization also works so well at this point.
How do you implement lazy initialization of an image?
Basically, just say, show whatever you need at the very first page.
Okay.
Leave everything later. Defer everything later.
Okay.
Right.
What else?
Okay, so what else? So the other thing is about if you apply to a mobile web, or even it's even more strict.
Oh.
We talk about 100 milliseconds
frame. Yes.
So it's like, for example, I use a Cordova implementation, which is basically a cross-platform JavaScript implementation.
You write code in JavaScript and HTML, and then it renders on mobile devices.
Yes, basically Cordova provide a package for you to link up your web container, which is using JavaScript, link up with all the native feature. For example, support the camera, right? Support the geolocation. So Cordova provide that, but everything is still in JavaScript.
I see.
So in terms of performance tuning, it's still with JavaScript. So all the things you already learned with JavaScript performance tuning, it sort of apply to that space. But in addition to that, you actually it's more strict. So you need to watch out a lot of detail. For example, virtualization is another new concept, because normally with a browser page, you do have, say, you could list like 100 items, right, in a line, because you have a screen bar, it's okay. But in the mobile device, nobody is going to see 100 those items. They're probably going to see 10, 20.
Yeah, so
you're wasting.
Why load everything that nobody's
exactly.
going to see?
You're wasting a resource to do that.
Right.
And then your app could be just a blank page at the beginning because they couldn't see it. The other thing is the garbage collection becomes so important.
Okay.
Because a browser will always try to, say you switch from page to page, browser will clean up all the cache for you.
Okay.
But we'll talk about a single page application. A mobile device.
You may retain things in memory for a very long time.
Exactly.
That page
you're not realizing you're doing that because you had a habit. It's okay in the past when you do a regular web app. But in that, you have to watch out your memory leakage.
I see.
You have to make sure you clean up things proactively.
Hmm.
Right? So these are the things you, like for example, event listener, event handler, all those event things handler. You would think a garbage collection is going to take place. But the thing is, it would take time for garbage collector to perform.
I see.
And you still don't know when.
It's non-deterministic, yes.
Exactly, because if it's a mission-critical app, you don't want a garbage collector to take place to reclaim all the unused objects. So you probably should proactively clean up things as you go.
Okay.
So that's another kind of tip.
When you were learning about performance tuning in JavaScript, where did you go to learn this? And can our viewers go to this?
Yeah, I actually learned from some of the real-life scenario work with customers.
Ah, okay.
And I listened to a lot of talks and go for the web performance kind of tuning lecture. As a matter of fact, if go for Channel 9, I have just a whole day training on JavaScript performance tuning.
Oh, so you're teaching it?
Yes, I'm teaching
that.
We'll it's from an MBA course, and then you could actually listen to all the details about that. We have some case study, things like that. But really, because we're facing a new challenge with modern web, so there's probably a lot of new things adding up into that.
Sure,
right?
There's new things, and also expectations are a lot higher.
Exactly,
now.
For example, frameworks,
right?
About a performance tuning in AngularJS, for example, right? That's another thing. So there's fundamental things for JavaScript people should watch out. And when getting to the framework, a different paradigm, there's some new things probably, although we would say AngularJS, they probably already consider all the performance tuning in the framework itself, right? I would think so, exactly. But I also heard memory management is still something you need to watch out.
I'm sure there's still, it's a living project. They're still improving things.
Right. So things like that, it's that's why I said performance tuning is like an evolving kind of project.
Okay.
Because you, at a different stage, different time, you have your different performance criteria. And performance time. For example, now we talk about 100 milliseconds. Maybe a year from now, we talk about 50 milliseconds, right? So it's even more strict. So there's a lot of new things.
We'll have 1,000 gigabyte internet at that time.
Hopefully, right? But the thing is, in terms of a website, there's only that much caching or things. Like, for example, local storage. That's another new subject.
Right.
And now we get into the progress of web app. We could talk about our service workers. We talk about all those new things which will improve your performance or getting better user experience. Because performance tuning, one of the ultimate goal is improve the user experience.
Yes.
Right. So there is something like people also ask, say, what if I do have a heavy library to load at the beginning and I know it's going to be slow? How I would make people feel it's more responsive? Then there's something called perceived performance.
Right.
For example, progress bar.
Right.
Right. You just do something,
just
make people.
Give them something to look at.
Exactly. Some trust, some confidence. Say, the app is going to work.
Yeah.
Just be patient. Wait a little bit. Something like that. So it's perceived performance is also very important for performance tuning.
Uh-huh.
So people loading the page, they give a really fun a company logo, animation to distract people to feel, it's still working. So I don't feel it's so slow. Yeah. Right. This is some other techniques we could use.
Excellent. For more details, people should go to your Microsoft Virtual Academy course.
We'll
put a link to that there. Yeah. And I think it's a good place to stop. We can talk about some more stuff on the next show.
Sure. Sounds great.
Doris, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Which is really fun. Actually, it's really integrated with my social life because I go to a lot of meetups. I meet a lot of friends. I meet a lot of developers. We become friends and we talk to each other. And we even, because of technology, we even become better friends.